This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Every Thursday, talking Falcons with Joe at this time. Joe, how are you?
What up, JP?
I'm good, guys. Yeah, that's just the true friend I am. I made the extra effort. I even brought a gift for Randy, being the Arthur Blank souvenir cup. Yeah. When I come to a party, you know, it's just the gifts are flying, you know, the party, the mood elevates. I think that I think everybody was a lot happier when they saw me walking up there. So, no, but happy birthday, Andy.
Well, then the party totally fell apart when you left.
Yes.
Like, it would just kind of sucked. Yeah.
As it tends to do, you know. I'm sorry, I had to work.
I do appreciate you being able to come, though. And thank you for the very nice Atlanta United scarf. Very, very cool.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
As it gets colder, that'll come in handy. Let me ask you this, because obviously we've dissected everything from Sunday, the final couple drives, the final couple plays, and all of that sort of thing. Let me just ask you a big picture. If you could fix one thing right now with the Falcons that you think would have a cascading effect and help fix a lot of other things, what's the biggest thing they need to clean up right now?
I mean, it's kind of obvious to me, but it's kind of broad, but it's just this third down offense. Mm-hmm. It's just not working. They're 2-for-9 in each of their three games so far this year. And what that does is it just leads to shortened drives that puts a lot more stress on the defense. It leaves them out there, you know, longer than when the defense is out there longer, they're going to be less capable of, you know, getting off the field. And so it just kind of plays into that whole complimentary football thing. It's been great to watch this team have some long sustained drives that have gone down the field, and they have had a few of those so far this season. Obviously at the end of the Philadelphia game on Monday Night Football, at the beginning of the Chiefs game on Sunday Night Football, that was also a good one. They had a nice, you know, long drive that didn't end up scoring at the end of that game too. But what's interesting is, like, a lot of those drives, they haven't even had third downs. They've actually been one of the more efficient teams in the NFL, especially per drop back on first and second downs, which is a good sign. But, you know, they need to be able to string some of these together. And I think that ultimately, when you boil it down, when you look at some of these third downs, a lot of it comes down to the running game hasn't been efficient enough in certain respects on some of those early downs that's led them with some tougher third downs to convert. On the, you know, as opposed to this defense, where they've not been able to get off the field at times, they're oftentimes having to try to stop teams who have third and twos, third and threes, and that's just really hard to do. Statistically, percentage-wise, you're just not going to stop teams that often, and this offense just doesn't find themselves in their own situations like that, where they have more easy conversions.
Joe, is Kurt, in your opinion, is he getting better?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he's getting more comfortable. I think that, you know, when you look at the offense schematically and the way that they tried to do the thing, do that weird offense that they were running that first week, I think that was probably around I think it had to do with the ankle and the Achilles. By the way, Kirk always calls it his ankle, okay, but you know, obviously the Achilles injury.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, what's that about? Why won't he say it? Randy brought that up earlier.
Why won't he call it
an Achilles?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to say the word. Okay. Maybe something superstitious. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there's something like, there's something nefarious at the bottom of it. I don't know. We'll have to get to the bottom of that. But, you know, I do think that, like, the reason why they went with that kind of offense was probably because he was limited, like, at points during his time with the team from when he signed. So when he initially signed, they were trying to design some things for him to run certain ways, and it just didn't work, but they have progressed from there. They've been running more under center stuff. I think when you look at, you know, where this team was, they had the fifth or sixth best drop back passing game in the NFL in week three, which I think is obviously a huge improvement from where you were in week one. The flip side of that coin was they had like one of the fifth or sixth worst rushing offenses in week three, which kind of held them back again on some of those third downs. But I do think they're getting better. And again, Kirk said this yesterday. It's just the more time on task he gets with these guys, I think the better they're going to be. And really, like, you can get reps in training camps and practices and things, but it's really those in-game reps when the stress is on, you know, you're under the cosh of the play clock and all that stuff. You know, that's when you really understand who your teammates are, what they're capable of in certain situations. And I think the more reps they get out, they have to get out there and go do that kind of thing, the better they're going to get over the course of the season.
The number is three, and the number is the number. That's how many sacks the Falcons have through 3 weeks. And that's not good. That's second worst in the NFL. Is there more to it than simply saying same old Falcons pass rush? Is there more to it than that, or is this just a group that isn't going to be all that good at getting to the quarterback?
I have to think that this is a little bit skewed, maybe not even a little bit, maybe a lot skewed by the offenses that they have faced in these first 3 weeks, in that the quarterbacks specifically are just not guys that you want to kind of pin your ears back and go full tilt at, because they will punish you with their legs. When you think about Justin Fields in week one, Jalen Hurts in week two, and then obviously Patrick Mahomes in week three, I'd be interested to see where a lot of other teams are in their kind of pass rush numbers going against those quarterbacks. I think because schematically, the way the defensive coordinators are thinking about it is that you just don't want to overextend yourself the line of scrimmage, and you would rather take your chances against those quarterbacks by dropping guys into coverage. And we saw that even like in the Eagles game, it was a little bit ridiculous at times, like how much time Jalen Hurts had to just kind of sit back there and then roll out, buy some more time, and continue to try to find somebody. And honestly, you got to tip your hat to the secondary that's played great, because oftentimes he didn't have obvious open guys despite having all that time. But I got to think that just the numbers, when you look at what the Falcons are doing from a pass rush, you know, win rate perspective and all those kind of statistics compared to the rest of the league, they are way off from pretty much everybody. And so I'm kind of hoping that that's the case, you know, just for the sake of this defense. And, you know, you did add a legitimate pass rusher, Matthew Judon. So, you know, I think there's more they can do with him than what they've shown so far. But again, I think that one of the reasons why they're not sending him on crazy stunts and things like that is because they want to just maintain their proper rush lanes and not let these quarterbacks kind of out of the pocket and extend plays.
JP, any updates? It doesn't look like Dalma's going to go, but anything as far as that right tackle?
Pretty clean, you know, injury-wise for the Falcons this week. I would be shocked if Caleb McGarry plays. I mean, the way that the Falcons have kind of messaged with the team is like, you know, when you talk about, like, Kirk's talking about, like, it's been great to get a week's of work with Storm and Ryan Neuzel at center. So he's kind of like talking as if Storm is going to be the guy that plays. And to me, like a sprained MCL, if that is the injury that Caleb McGarry has, which has been reported, you know, that's not like one that I think that you just come back from if it knocks you out of a game completely and you're ruled out one on a Sunday night that you're ready to then play the next Sunday for a regular season game. I think that the team, you know, can take their time here. There's not a huge rush. It's not like it's a huge change in the kind of quality that you're getting at the right tackle. I think that, I mean, it's obvious that Caleb McGarry gives you more in the run game, but honestly, Storm Norton might be even a slightly better pass blocker than even McGarry is. So I don't think they're going to necessarily rush him. I just don't think he's going to play this week, even though he's considered day-to-day. I think that even next Thursday is the better kind of timeline of when he might come back, and they might even just want to hold him off there so then he gets that kind of mini bye week and come back after that. But other than that, it's a clean slate of injuries for the Falcons, and it's not that way for the Saints, guys. And it's worth keeping monitoring this over the course of the week, but Alvin Kamara did not practice for them yesterday. Demario Davis did not practice for them yesterday. Their guard, Cesar Ruiz, did not practice for them yesterday. Also, their center, Eric McCoy, was also placed on IR. So both these teams will be playing with backup centers. Even Derek Carr was on the injury report yesterday with a left groin, even though he was a full participant. So they've just got a lot of stuff they're dealing with on the other side. And I think that if you're looking at one or the other, I think you'd rather be the Falcons in terms of the injury situation between the two teams.
How do you think they attack this defense? Because, I mean, I know Davis and all those guys aren't practicing. That's not necessarily means they won't play. But how do you think the Falcons should attack this defense? Because, I mean, it's really, really good. And a lot of people don't think of it because they want to look at what the offense has done early on.
Yeah. I mean, the defense has been, quietly impressive, and you're right. It's kind of been overlooked because of all the success that this Clint Kubiak-led offense, and especially when you get that young new coordinator, that really kind of gets the eye of a lot of the media and the film people who like to break these things down. But yeah, this defense has been really impressive. And, for me, listen, if I really knew the answer to this question, I would be getting paid a lot more and maybe not doing this job. But I would have to think, just thinking back to the last year's games, you've got to establish yourself on the ground. And just in general for the Falcons team, it's when they've been at their best, when they've looked the most dangerous, it's been when they really have Bijan going. And I feel like fans can understand this. And Bijan was asked about this yesterday, and he agreed with this, that when the Falcons running game gets going, especially with that outside zone, you really feel the defense kind of becoming unbalanced and trying to find solutions and just kind of feeling a little bit overwhelmed.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
By this rushing attack that Atlanta can bring, not just with Bijan, but then, the second, you run Bijan a few plays in a row, then you can bring in Tyler Algier, who can hurt you in a different kind of way. So I think for the Falcons, you've got to get that ground game going. They did a pretty good job of against the Chiefs, considering they didn't really have that. They were averaging less than 2 yards per carry in that game. But that's an unsustainable way to play, and ultimately it's why they only scored 17 points and why they couldn't convert on some of those key moments on fourth downs toward the end of the game there, especially on when they had the third and fourth and one. And I would say, especially in those very short yardage, third and fourth downs, you think back to that Eagles game, they also got stuffed on a fourth and one that we thought, I think, kind of took the game out of their hands at that point. So they've got to be better, especially in some of those easily convertible short yardage third and fourth downs. Like we were talking about earlier, where this team needs to find themselves in more of those short yardage third downs. You also need to be able to convert them a little bit more easily. I think it's frustrating for a lot of fans to see teams like the Eagles, who can, come up with something like the tush push that just works very regularly and routinely for them in those situations. And it feels like the Falcons have not quite figured that out yet for themselves. And Kirk Cousins said something kind of leading into the season about, team's identity and how you kind of go about that and what that ultimately ends up being. And he kind of described it as, when you have a third and three, what are you running? And what do you feel so confident in running that the other team can know that you're running it and it doesn't even matter, and you're going to, everybody has faith that you're going to get it anyway? I think that's kind of where we are with this Falcons offense, where they're doing some things really well, but I don't think that they've really found those core centerpiece things that they can really rely on in some of those moments that ultimately often prove so important in the NFL game, which is obviously, field of parity.
Let us hope they find a lot of it on Sunday afternoon.
Tyler Algier ain't going to be lead blocking them, where is he?
I would think not, because, Raheem said, he was like, there's been a lot of, kind of bluster about that play call. And he was like, listen, that play could go for a touchdown if we block Nick Bolton, and nobody blocked Nick Bolton. So, they got to figure out how to, set themselves up in positions to succeed there.
Joe, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate it, JP.
All right. Thanks, guys.